Welcome back, family. There are few things in life as universal as music, and we take every opportunity we can to highlight and speak with the people that bring us the soundtracks of our lives, both in front of and behind the scenes. Now, this week's guest produced one of the biggest songs of the last few years. Jay Howard is the producer behind Wale's Lotus Flower Bomb. And we had the chance to pick his brain about production, the state of the industry, where he came from, and his vision for helping the next generation of artists. So take a listen, and as always, let us know what you think. Let's go. Tell everybody who you are, how you got to where you are, and what you do.
Well, I go by the name of Jan Howard. A lot of people know me as Jan Howard or Jay Howard, or my early days, Rocksteady. But mainly Jay. It's either Jay Howard or Jan Howard. That's my producer name as far as me producing big records. All the credits say Jan Howard. So people approach me, they know me by my government name and Jan Howard. And so what I do is I produce, I songwrite. Those are my main two things. I can do a lot of things. I can engineer. I can, I can do vocal production. Recording engineer. So everything is self-taught. And I have a lot of people that I work with that help me. Form my craft and help me perfect it. But no schooling. None of that. Man, for college. No degrees, nothing. So it's all self-taught, man. I'm known for producing DC's own Wale, one of his biggest records, Lotus Fly Bomb.
Okay.
Featuring Miguel, and that's what I'm known for. I produce a lot of music. I work with a lot of people, but that's my biggest record today. People know me by that record. Everywhere I go, anywhere I go, from family to friends to, industry people, it's always that record. So that's what I'm known for. And I'm guessing because he got, Grammy nominated for Best Rap Song. And it was a really big record. I got recognized for me, being behind the scenes, to produce that record. I was very quiet when it came out, and it came out of nowhere, so I was very quiet. I was a quiet person, and a lot of people didn't know that I did the record, until a little bit down the road, to like reach number one, and my name started popping up on the internet, and old people from school would Google my name. I'd hear word of mouth, and like, yeah, Jan Howard did that. Like, oh, no, he didn't. Let me Google it, and they Google it, and, my name pops up, and, stuff like that. But
so was that surreal for you?
It was surreal, yeah, because of my situation, right before that, just like anybody else, working hard, working, 9 to 5. I was working at Target. Mm-hmm. I was a high school dropout. I dropped out of high school, in the 10th grade. So, and I was working at Target. I did not know exactly what I wanted to do with my life. I had no high school diploma. A lot of my, I was went to high school in California, and a lot of my peers were, they were either in jail or they grabbing kids, or some of them went to college. And I had a couple buddies that, went to the NFL. So, I was just Jaren Howard that did music in high school. He had a lot of talent, but, I really didn't know, what exactly I wanted to do with myself, because, the music wasn't really going exactly how I planned for it to go. Especially when moving around a lot from state to state. It was really surreal, man. It was real mind-blowing. It still is mind-blowing. It feels like it was yesterday. That was 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Well, now it's almost 6 years ago. And funny thing is, right before you called me, I went and grabbed something to eat. I got in the car, and then the song was on the radio. So, I live in Houston, Texas, so I live in the country. Not really country. Well, I don't live in the city of Houston. I live in, you know, the country suburb part of Houston, and they still play. Yeah, I hear it every day. So for 6 years, you know, to go by, and it's still getting played just like any other song on the radio. You know, it's a blessing. There's one surreal life and a blessing.
Did you have one of those moments where you heard it on the radio and you wanted to just run around telling people that was you, or did you keep it low key?
It was kind of half and half, honestly. Like, when I was on the radio, I was still working at Target. So I was working in the electronics area, you know, a lot of the times, and my song would come on the radio. So, you know, and the funny thing is, at those moments, like, managers were getting on my nerves and I would want to quit so bad, but I really didn't know, you know, where I was headed after that. I didn't know the record. I just heard the record, I heard it a couple of times. I didn't know exactly what it was going to do and stuff like that. But once I started getting calls from, like, you know, Billboard, and, you know, BMI, and record label, and, you know, a lot of these people with, you know, all these updates, just like, you know, I was like, man, I gotta tell somebody. But you know, you know, your parents, your mom is gonna tell everybody. So my mom was like, yeah, you know, until this day, you know, I can, like, you know, like, we can go Christmas shopping and we're in Macy's and looking at the Flower Bomb perfume. Say, like, yeah, you know, my son did the Flower Bomb. They're like, we know he always in here shopping, so we already know. He did that record. So, yeah, you know, after a while, I really didn't have to say anything. Like, it just spread it, man, like wildfire. So, yeah, it was pretty crazy, man. I had a lot of good reactions, a lot of negative. You know, I mean, anything you do, somebody's going to be, you know, either happy or against, you know, like, you know, what you're doing. You're always going to have some haters, or no matter what it is. If you're doing really positive, whatever, no matter what it is, man. Like, it was good, bro. Like, to this day, it's like, you know, I'm still getting honored for that record. Like, people still hit me up. Like, yeah, I just heard a record on the radio. Like, okay. You've been calling me for 6 years, telling me you heard. Like, I know. It's a hit. More to come. But, yeah, man, It's all good, man. It's really a blessing.
So I want to go back a little bit. When did you first, because I know you said when you were in high school, you didn't know what you wanted to do, but when did you first realize that you had a love for music that was kind of past the, you know, everybody likes music, but not everybody loves music to the point where they want to create music. When did that come about?
Must have been, I was in elementary school and my father, he started this church just when I was living in Maryland. I grew up in Maryland.
Okay.
And, you know, he had started church. And I didn't understand. I was so young. I must have been about 6 or 7. And I didn't understand, like, what was going on. I understood, you know, church. I understood God, because all we would listen to was gospel music when we were in the car. We weren't extra religious, but that was the thing, you know, Hezekiah Walker, T.D. Jakes, The Potter's House, Fred Hammond, you know what I'm saying, like, Yolanda Adams, you know, Kirk Franklin, like, that's what I grew up on, like, as far as, you know, gospel, you know, Christian music, so, and I never really went to church before that, but my dad started a church in elementary school in the cafeteria. I still remember, and you know, he had, you know, the microphone, the keyboard, and these drums. And I seen those drums, man. And I remember, you know, I was the youngest, and you know, my Pop let me sit anywhere, so I sat behind those drums, and we really didn't have a drummer, and people would just play, and it was one moment, I still remember like it was yesterday, man, and I must have been like 7, I was really young, because I know I was in elementary school, I was a young dude, and nobody could play those drums. I remember church had went over, you know, everybody was shouting, going crazy. Somebody was on the keyboard, nobody knew how to touch those drums. And in my mind, I envisioned myself beating on those drums and making it sound incredible. I know, like, if I get those sticks, I can do something with those drums. I know I can. It, like, everything, like, toys, all of that, like, just went out of my brain, and I was focused on those drums. I remember they were Pearl drums, made by Pearl. They were purple. They were shiny. And they were brand new. And they were expensive. And I'm like, you know, when you little, like, you really can't mess with expensive stuff. But my dad looked at me. He was like, you know, get on the drums. Because I knew for like a couple Sundays, I never touched the drums. I love music.
Right.
But I go home and grab some pencils and, you know, start beating on stuff. And I would make these rhythms, man, and it felt good to me. And I was like, wow, I didn't know what, like, it was so, I was so sharp with it. Like, and I was like, okay, I'm beating those drums. So that moment happened, and my dad looked at me. He was like, play. Because people were shouting, the keyboard was going, but nobody knew how to play lick of those drums. I got on those drums, man. I must have been about 7 or 8. I tore them drums up. I remember that day. And I was just going for it. It was looking and flapping, and, you know, my foot can barely touch the pedal, but I was killing it, man. And that was my moment to where I'm like, man, these drums are mine. These drums are mine. Nobody can touch these drums. This is what I do, these drums. So from then on, for years, every Sunday, don't think I missed a Sunday. Even if I was sick, I had asthma, I still would come, beat those drums, and just get better and get better and get better. And when school started, you know, middle school or whatever, I joined band, and my talent really came out. Then, like, I knew that I had something. Once I got into school and played in band, you know, in the sixth grade, when I was playing with eighth graders and seventh graders, they were looking at me like, how does he do that? People are like, oh, are you going to play the drums today? We want to hear you play the drums. You know, Maryland, they, you know, go-go music. They're like, oh, we want to hear you play a go-go beat, man. We want to hear you do something on the drums, man. So I think those two moments were like, made it kind of official to where I'm like, I want to do music. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not the kind of music I'm doing today, but it's just, that's where the path started.
Right.
Was inside church, you know, and then in school, and being in organized band, learning how to, you know, read and write music, and you know, being a part of a band.
So from from there, what was the biggest skill that you had to learn to translate to get to where you are now?
Learning how to add music to the drums. I was so connected to, even when I started producing, and that's a whole nother story, like, when I started producing, I was just doing the drums. I would, you know, I would grab guitar loops off the internet or buy them, or, you know, beg my parents to buy these drums, these guitar loops.
So, right.
You know, or I would act like I can play the music part, and then, but that was my hardest thing. And I had so many opportunities to learn how to play the keyboard because I was in church and the keyboard player was cool. We used to practice together. Like, he was older and he was a beast. So I was just so stuck on perfecting the drums. And I'm glad I did, because I know that my drums are really good. So, you know, but I knew that I had to pick up the music part. But adding the music part, that's a whole other story with being taught how to, and learning from different people how to, you know, input the music, the melody, the learning from listening to, you know, jazz music, listening to gospel and Christian, listening to R&B, you know, 90s R&B, learning chords, programming, learning different DAWs for, you know, making beats and, and stuff like that. Learning different keyboards, not really learning how to play the keyboard because it's more of by ear thing, arranging and all of that stuff. And like, so that stuff takes time. And I see why people go to school to do it because it's not easy to do it. And I think that's why a lot of music on the radio is, a lot of artists are lacking arrangement quality, and, you know, because everything is rushed now, you know, especially with rap music, it's rushed. But they do it for a purpose. That's another story too. But yeah, man. I mean, that's it's really the base of it, man. It's how.
So when did you? At what age was it that you decided, okay, production is where I'm going to be. Like this is my path.
High school, 10th grade. Mm-hmm. No, high school, between 9th and 10th, like summer of 9th grade. Because when we moved from Maryland to California, I wanted to rap.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, my favorite rappers were like, at that moment where that really got me into rapping was like Timbaland, Exhibit, you know, Jay-Z, Eminem, Nas, you know, Big L. And so it's like, especially Exhibit, you know what I mean? Like, and people probably, DJ Quick. So like Exhibit and DJ Quick and E-40, like listening to that music over and over. Mm-hmm. And then my uncle was a big DJ, you know what I mean, at that time. So, you know, I would always get like the music first and I would hear it. And I'm like, I start writing. I'm like, yo, I want to be a rapper. Right. You know what I mean? And not just for money, because this was back in the early 2000s. I didn't understand what money, man. I didn't understand what music publishing and record deals, man. I was young. I wasn't trying to get a bunch of girls. Like, I wanted to rap. I wanted to write a rap and I wanted to be a rapper. I knew that I can do it. But I was like, oh, I can do this. And I just, and not like how people do it now. Like, they wake up, they get a beat off the internet, and they start rapping, and they make $1 million. It was more to it back then. It was more of, you know, I like this thing right here. I do music already, but I know I can rap. So, but summer of, I think, 9th grade or something like that, I knew a lot of producers. I had a buddy of mine that was a producer, and he was working with PUG at the time, where B2K was big. And he was young. He was like a year younger than me, and he was like 13. He was a young dude. Like, imagine someone in middle school with a major deal. Mm-hmm. And that's where I was trying to get. I was trying to manifest that in my life, but be a rapper. And my thing with producing was, I couldn't afford beats. Like, it was a whole family living in, you know, two bedroom apartment in Cali, like in a nice part, but like the hood is right behind us. So I couldn't, everybody wanted like $500 for a beat. Like, I went to my dad one time, I was like, I need $500 for a beat. He looked at me crazy. You know what I mean? But I explained to him, like, I want to get in the studio and learn and rap and do this and that. And he understood that part, but $500 for beats, like, he didn't understand that. So he was like, you got to get a job, pay for your own beat, because it's not happening right now. I meet you halfway, but, you know. But that's when I discovered producing. My buddy Corey Bowe, he got me into the program, Fruity Loops, and I downloaded the demo and I went crazy on it, and it got annoying because I couldn't save any of my projects. So I went to my father again. So that's where it started, right there again. I said, I need $150 for Fruit Loops. And he gave me the money, and I took the bus to Sam Ash, California, and I brought the program I'm the happiest black kid in America. I guarantee it. I guarantee it, man. I didn't buy any school clothes, any of that. Like my $150 went towards the beat program. I wore the same stuff from last year. I did not care.
Right.
And I just got a job. You know, I got a job and started buying my own stuff. But at that point, I wanted that program so bad. I knew that I can do something with this. Like, my buddy was so big, and you know, he was doing like $80,000 deals at 14, 13 years old. So, and at that time, I didn't understand what that kind of money was. I was like, oh, $80,000, that seemed like $80 million back then, especially being that young. And that's where producing came in right there. I went and bought that program. And, man, I tell you, I went crazy on that thing. I must have made like 20 beats a day. And the funny thing is, I still have most of them saved on disc, but I would burn them. And I have like 10 shoeboxes of CDs from back in the early 2000s of all my old beats and files and stuff like that. So that's where it started. That's where the production started. Being able to afford a beat, like, you know, I can do this myself. And learning from my buddy, Corey Bode. And back then, he had the best drums and sound because he was working in the studio with, you know, Grammy Award-winning producers and songwriters. So he had access to all those crazy drums, Timbaland's drums, and not those stuff you just download anywhere on the internet. He had official, you know, custom-made stuff. Like, he would give it to me because that was my buddy. Like, and, it'd take, like, a whole week to send it through the internet because back then, internet was, like, you know, super weak, but when I got them, I went crazy on it. And I think that's what really helped me, like, stand out back then with production. I knew how to arrange and everything because I was a drummer. Mm-hmm. And that's where it started, man, as far as crafting the beat, but not as much as selling beats and making it a profession, but just crafting beats and you know, trying to make a name around the neighborhood with the little rappers and stuff that want to rap.
How do you find a balance between doing what you would love to do and doing what's going to make you money?
The balance is tough, man. It's hard. It's hard because I'm an artist and then I'm a producer, and then like, I do a lot of what people would say Christian music, Christian rap, but I do a lot of positive music, and I showcase my love for God in my records. And but it's hard to, well, it's not hard, it's just you got to find that pocket, that balance of, you know, like, because really, like, I don't really pay attention to what people want. And when I don't, that's when good music, I make good music. That's how Love the Fly Bomb came about, is not worrying about the radio and stuff and what people think. Mm-hmm. Just making records that feel good. No matter, it can be your worst song and it can be the best song of the year. You know what I'm saying? Like, you really don't know until you put it out.
Right.
You just got to keep putting out music and not worry about what other people are doing. Because the moment you worry about what other people are doing, that you're not going to be able to create. Like, if I'm a positive rapper, Christian rapper, or whatever you say it, like, I shouldn't be worried about, you know, like Lil Cray or someone like that, like what they're doing. Or if I was an R&B singer, I shouldn't be worried about Brandy or any of the Beyonce, because they make cold music. Like, once they put it out, like, it's going to hurt your feelings if you worry about it, because it's going to sound so good. You know what I mean? Especially if you're up and coming, because if you want to be a professional musician and you don't have all the resources to be professional sound, as far as having the right sound, then you're not going to put a lot of music out if you're worried about other people's music. Because they're going to come with that heat. And they got it down packed because they have the best mixing engineer. They have the best studio. They have the best mic. They have the best producers. So they have the best everything. So whenever they put a record out, it's going to sound good. So, you know what I'm saying? So that's something I had to learn way up until now. Like, stop worrying about what other people are putting out. Stop worrying about when other people are releasing music. I'm going to just put out music. And never, my thing is never fall in love with your records.
Right.
Like, because if you fall in love with your record, then it's the only record you're going to make. Like, you're going to love that record so much. And then you put it out, people are going to hate it. You're going to be depressed. You're going to be everything negative because you love that record so much. Put it out. It's like cooking a meal for someone or a family. And you put your heart into it, and then somebody's like, oh, this is nasty. It's going to hurt your feelings. Like,
right.
Just put the music out. I learned that from a lot of people that are out, man. Just watching how they do. Just got to put it out. A lot of these artists have put out, like, so much music, and then they hit. You know what I mean? They then wrote so many songs, and then they get a placement. And they made so many beats, and then they get a placement. So you really got to just keep working.
If there was a young person out there who's trying to get in the game, who wants to make their first mark on this industry, having come from somebody who's seen the highs and lows, where would you tell them to start?
It depends what they're doing. I mean, if they want to be a producer or a songwriter, everything's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Overall, I can say is start within yourself, and you have to really study, not copy, but study like people you love that are really creative, and they put a mark on what it is that you're trying to do. So if you're a producer, study the sound of Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, study the sound of Michael Jackson, study James Brown, study Timberland, study Pharrell, listen to the arrangement, listen to how they stay in pocket as far as a producer, the sound selection. We have this internet, we have Google, we have all this stuff. Everything's out there already. Like, do your research, read books, and keep working and stay inspired. You know, like, if you're hanging around people that aren't inspired, then you're not going to be inspired either.
Where do you see yourself, next? What's next? And where do you see yourself in 5 years?
What's next? I'm really focused on right now. A lot of people set goals, like, end of the year. That's cool, you know what I mean? Like, I do too. But, like, I set goals every day. Every day I wake up, or the night before, like, I go on my phone and I write down everything I want to accomplish the next day. No matter how big or small, my thing this year is to focus on music. You know what I'm saying? Like, because for a while, I really wasn't. I'd be in and out of it, because I got personal life, so sometimes, I won't do too much music, but this year, I really want to focus on music every day. I want to focus on being an artist. I want to put out more music as an artist. I want to produce more up-and-coming artists. You know what I mean? I want to sign artists this year. But I want to make it a daily thing. As far as music, personal, I know music is so important to me right now. I want to put out a lot of positive music. I want to help a lot of people. I'm building a site right now that, a lot of people hit me up for, like, beats and stuff. Like, and my rates don't fit everybody. So I'm making a site for artists, producers, songwriters, whatever it is. You can purchase beats. You can download your songwriter. You can download beats to write to. pitch or whatever it is. If you're a producer, I got, you know, sound kits and drum kits. I'm going to give opportunity for people to get, you know, consultation, just like me and you are talking, like somebody wants, if they're an artist or producer, songwriter, whatever it is, like I'm going to give people opportunity. I can give people opportunity. Like the same beat I was saying, Wale or whoever it is, like I want to give people opportunity to get that record as well. You know what I'm saying? So that's what the site is about. Like for people to, you know, to download and purchase beats at a reasonable price. It's only right. It's been so many years and I've been working with majors and independent people with budgets. There's so many people out there that don't have a budget, but they're very serious about wanting that Grammy sound. You know what I mean? Because I work with a team of people, like a team of people that have already won Grammys, or like me, the Grammy nominated. Like we have a serious sound, and I just want to share it. You know what I mean? I don't want to limit it this year and beyond to only people that have money or, you know, have a budget. I just want to make it affordable. I want to make it for anyone that's serious about, you know, getting that track. You know, I just got tired of people, like, not tired of people, but I got tired of myself not having access for people to get records. You know what I mean? I got so many records and they're just sitting around. So I'm making some type of platform to where I can help different people, producers, you know, they want to perfect, you know, the sound, the drums, whatever it is. Like, I got something for you. Artists that need records, you don't have to beg me. You don't have to tell me your story. Like, you can just log on. You can listen, and if you like it, you can get it. If you're serious about it, you can get it. It's affordable. You go to anybody Grammy nominated or have a hit record or whatever it is, they charge your arm and a leg for a beat. That's just how it is. That's how the industry is. So I'm going to make it to where, you know, everybody has access for it, man. But that's my main thing I'm working on this year. And a lot of other things, man. You know, like I'm going to open up a restaurant in Houston this year, probably summertime. But other than that, man, it's just whatever comes, whatever God, you know, puts in my mind, and I'm going to just try to manifest it, man. Whatever goals I have set, I'm going to just try to knock them out this year. But my main focus is music. But as far as, you know, like in the future, like 5 years, like, man, I mean, 5 years, shoot, I'll be 34. So, yeah, it makes me seem old. But, nah, 5 years, I mean, when I think about 5 years, cause that's a hard question because people don't ask me that.
Right.
A lot of people ask me, when are you going to put out another record, or can I hear something, or can I borrow some money? Like, those are my questions. Those are the things I hear every day. Nobody's like,
can I borrow some money?
I'd be like, oh, I'm sick, man. I don't feel good. And then they're like, okay. Like, no, okay. Really? Okay, well. So, yeah, man, nobody's ever like, oh, you know, how you doing? Hey, you, where do you see yourself rocking in 5 years? Like, so, honestly, I see it being more personal, man. As far as the music and all that, I think I would exceed everything that I've been trying to do. I never do music to win a Grammy, but I will win a Grammy by then. You know, everything I'm trying to be successful at right now, I will accomplish that. It's already done. Everybody that come across me, I just want to help them be whatever they want to be. Mm-hmm. Your producer, and I come across you, I want to help you become the best producer, get the most placements, teach the music business to you, the publishing game, and help you, you know, save your money, secure your money. Songwriters too, you know what I mean? Like, I want to help you save your publishing, everything. I want to help you succeed. Artists, I want to help them to be the biggest that they possibly can be. Yeah, that's the goal, is not to have any duds. Man, I want, and it's not going to be perfect, but I'm going to work as hard as I can to help people. So.
Just want to thank Jerrion again for being a part of the show. And make sure to check us out at viewfromthestoop.com, Brownstone MG on Instagram, brownstonemag.com, and let us know how we're doing. Until next time, family, love.